Market View on Money FM 89.3.
The Straits Times Index continues to go from strength to strength, and it seems that the outlook might also be improving for REITs, which did suffer a bit of a scare with a sudden rise in U.S. Treasury yields that did weigh down momentarily on property developers and REITs alike. And we're also coming off of an earnings season that saw the real estate trusts here in Singapore perform in fairly mixed fashion. There's a lot going on in the property space, and we're not yet through the first quarter of 2021. To take stock of all that's happened and all these developments in Singapore's property space and the REIT sector, we have with us today on Money FM 89.3, Mr. Vijay Natarajan. He's a resident property and REITs analyst over at RHB. He's here to share with us his thoughts on how these two sectors might actually do as we head into the second quarter and if there are brighter skies ahead. Vijay, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are safe and in good health during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. It's been a long time.
Thank you, JP, for having me. It's always nice to talk to you.
All right, Vijay. So let me start off first with earnings season. We'll start off with something a little bit softer with regards to the REITs. As we mentioned a while ago, we know property stocks mostly suffered from these deep property impairments that sent most of them into the red. But overall, how do you think the REITs did, in your opinion? And do you think there are any REIT sectors that might have surprised you in particular?
For a REIT's earnings perspective, there are two parts to it. One is the distributable income. The other one is the net profits, which includes the asset impairments or revaluations losses suffered by the REITs. If I look at the distributable income portion for the REITs, I would say most of the REITs performed broadly in line with what we have been expecting from the individual counters. So this is because in the first half of the impact, up until third quarter, the impact of COVID was quite severe on the REITs. But things started picking up in the third quarter as Singapore moved into phase one, COVID came into control, and phase two and phase three. We can see that the improvement in the REITs earnings as well as the manager's outlook are slowly starting to come through. From a distributable income point of view, most of the REITs did well. I would say one sector that surprised me a bit on the upside would be the U.S. office REITs. Despite U.S. office sector struggling a lot in terms of COVID and office workers still working from home, U.S. office REITs mostly had their DPU intact, and most of the U.S. office REITs, in fact, outperformed their DPU forecast despite COVID. So that was a surprise. The other portion which I want to discuss about is the asset valuations, revaluation losses. You rightly pointed out that the developers suffered from a revaluation losses for 2020. We also saw REITs doing a revaluation losses. Mostly industrial REITs, the revaluation losses were not much. They were more or less flattish in terms of revaluations. For office REITs, the values, asset values declined by less than 2%. For retail REITs, the revaluation losses were between 2 to 5%, where suburban malls held up quite steadily. For hospitality REITs, the revaluation losses were between 4 to 7%. But most of these were broadly in line with what we have been expecting.
You mentioned a while ago that the U.S. office REITs actually were a pleasant surprise. You've had a few weeks now to sort of wrap your head around it. Why do you think they seem to have surprised even the likes of you?
The main reason is because I think, firstly, if you look at markets like Singapore, we had a bit of government stimulus, government support, something like rent rebates. A lot of REITs in Singapore offered rent rebates to tenants because of the COVID-19 situation. But if you look at the U.S. office REITs, the rent rebate component was much less, or in fact, none of them offered any significant rent rebates. This rent rebates caused a dip for Singapore REITs, but U.S. office, there was not much of rent rebates. That was a surprise. But mostly in terms of leases also, all the leases were held quite tight. I think there were not many lease cancellations, and the rent collection was also quite healthy. So those were the surprises in terms of what we have seen. This is mainly because I think despite COVID crisis, government has stepped in quite fast. Ultra low interest rates as well as the government stimulus has helped in U.S. Sectors, especially this tech sectors and healthcare sectors doing well, which has helped REITs.
So let's look ahead now, Vijay, after we've adjusted that assessment of the report cards for the REITs. Overall, we are seeing REITs fare rather well today, but that's happening despite the fact that we saw 10-year yields in the U.S. rise once again. On more than one occasion in the last couple of weeks, with this rising yield environment, we have seen REITs somewhat underperform some of their counterparts on the STI. And we have to acknowledge that's not the case, it seems, today. But overall, can you talk to us about how sensitive REITs and property stocks are going to be if yields continue to trend higher? Or do you think that these two particular sectors are now accustomed or acclimated to this higher yield environment at the moment? What are your thoughts?
Okay, I think the main reason why REITs and property stocks underperformed this time around is because generally, an increase in yield in a gradual manner is not that much negative to property stocks and REITs. But if yields jump quite fast in a short period of time, that can be a bit negative to interest rate sensitive sectors like property and REITs, which is what has happened since the start of the year. If you look at the 10-year treasuries came back from a low base environment and has nearly doubled in terms of the 10-year yields. So this short span of time, the yields jump is what has created a bit of underperformance in terms of the REIT sector. Our view at this point of time is that this spike, which is caused because of the concerns over market inflation and government pumping in too much of money, is likely to be a short-term phenomenon. And I think we expect the yields to stabilize or normalize in the second half of the year. Few other trends I want to point out to the REIT sector. I think the reason why REITs has also slightly underperformed since fourth quarter of the last year compared to that of the STI is because of few reasons. One, we saw vaccines came out in end of the third quarter. So once the vaccine news or vaccination news came about, market started moving into some of the value plays. Market started to move into the sectors which could benefit a lot from the economic pickup or where the valuations were quite low. That caused a bit of a cyclical rotation out of REITs, especially from sectors like industrial. We saw investors moving from industrial REITs to sectors like office REITs, retail REITs, hospitality REITs, which are a bit more cyclical in nature. Right. The other thing which we also saw is that REITs which did well, or REITs which are generally considered defensive, like Mapletree's, Ascendas REIT, which are the top big industrial names, which outperformed during the peak of the COVID, started underperforming when more positive news came about. We saw investors rotating out into the smaller mid-cap space REITs, where there were a bit more value because they were trading at a huge discount to that of the larger caps name like Ascendas REIT, Mapletree Industrial Trust. Once the economy started recovering, people started becoming more confident. They started putting their money into some of the smaller mid-cap REIT space, which were trading at a higher yield and a bigger valuation discount to the larger cap names. So these are the key trends which we are seeing at the REIT market currently.
All right. We're speaking to Mr. Vijay Natarajan, resident property and REITs analyst over at RHB here on Money FM 89.3. Speaking of big moves, Vijay, we have to talk about the recent announcement last week of Capitaland to do this massive restructuring. And underneath it all, we are seeing a new entity that will be launched, and a lot of their investment platforms like the REITs actually moved under this particular umbrella. It's the latest in a series of moves following the creation of Capitaland Integrated Commercial Trust, also the acquisition of Ascendas Singbridge. What do you make of all these moves in Capitaland, and what kind of value can they actually unlock? Because on the surface, it almost seems that they're just moving a lot of these investment platforms from one room in the House of Capitaland underneath a new room that they're creating that's called CILM. What kind of value do you think this might actually unlock, and why do you think they've been so busy trying to reorganize their house?
I think Capitaland has been listening to what market is market needs at this point of time. We talked a lot about value unlocking, and why this deal is value unlocking. We like this deal. We think this deal is value unlocking. What do we mean by that? Basically, Capitaland has two parts of the business. One is a development business where they buy the land and then they develop the asset, mature it, and then spin off. The other one is the investment management business where the assets are mature enough, which can be injected into the REITs or funds, or the assets need some asset enhancement and eventually will be injected into the REITs or the investment platforms. So what they have done is that they have split this business into two. The development business is usually is slightly more riskier, and it has become a low ROE kind of business because of various reasons. One, because governments are trying to control the property market at various points of time. The competition has increased. So this has caused the ROE proportion of the development business to slowly come down over the years. So what this means is that the valuations which investors ascribe for the development business is much lower than what the book value is. Typically, the discounts can be anywhere between 30% to 50%. But the investment management portion or the REITs business are all generally stable income businesses, and they keep growing quite with the market cycles. So this is the business where market really likes to position in at this point of time, and where investors are very keen about. So by taking out the development business, which is more risky and low ROE generating in this kind of environment, and listing only the investment management business, which can command much higher valuation, we are able to, we believe that CapitaLand has unlocked the value for the unit holders and eventually should be re-rated.
Do you think other property developers might follow suit though, Vijay?
I think this is a good template, but to follow this template, you need two things. One, you need a major shareholder who has a capacity to split out and do this spinning of business. The other one is also you need a bigger platform. CapitaLand has both. CapitaLand has a major shareholder support in terms of Temasek supporting this deal. The second part is that they have a scalability platform in terms of REITs and integrated private funds. So they have worked over the last 5 to 10 years to build such a big platform. If I look at the other developers at this point of time, not many do have this kind of platform and scale at this point of time. I would think this is a possibility. Eventually, if they do, maybe 3 to 5 years, they scale up the business, they can consider if market still doesn't value the development portion well. But at this point of time, I think the options or opportunities for others are limited in my view.
And very quickly now, Vijay, I do want to ask you about what your outlook is now for the property and REIT sector in the second quarter. We've seen home sales at least pick up and be more resilient as compared to other retail real estate markets around the world. The REITs, as we mentioned, might be seeing better days ahead despite these rising yields. What are you watching out for as perhaps one of the key catalysts, either positive or negative, for this particular sector in the second quarter?
For the property sector, as you rightly mentioned, I think the sector has been doing well. We are seeing the sales momentum continuing for developers. For REITs, I think the key to watch out is that the government has recently announced further opening up of the economy. There will be more relaxation of rules. More people can go to office. So this should create a bit more of a vibrancy, especially in the suburb, especially in the downtown area, which has been more deeply impacted. I think there should be some pickup. I think few pointers which I would be watching out in the second quarter going forward is that how is the tenants, do they still need rent rebates? How is the rent collection? What is the shoppers traffic and tenant sales and occupancy rates? All in, we also have to watch out for the COVID cases, which would also be important thing to watch out for. And so these are all some of the things which we would be watching out for other than the DPU number per se.
But overall, is your outlook at least, or your expectations for the second quarter, more positive than, say, last year or in the first quarter of this year?
Definitely. We are on the right track. We are seeing from the GDP estimates and the data which is coming out from industrial production to other data, the data coming out are quite positive. So we are optimistic as we move into the earnings season for the second quarter for both property developers and REITs.
All right, a very bright note indeed. And we'll see if that does hold true as we head into the month of April for property and REIT sectors here in Singapore. Mr. Vijay Natarajan, resident property and REITs analyst at RHB, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times. And we look forward to next time we can have you on the show. Meanwhile, sir, have a great rest of a shortened week ahead.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.